question. How do we avoid getting lost among the many levels of nested conversations in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Sometimes one person is quoting another and another, and it becomes difficult to keep track of who is speaking to whom. So how do we avoid feeling lost? Answer: as long as we find the meaning, it doesn't matter if we feel lost as far as the narrative itself is concerned. Because the important point is that the Bhagavatam is a book that is conveying certain meanings to us, certain truths to us. And that we learn those truths is more important than we remember who is speaking to whom where. Of course, we can, if we study carefully, keep track of the conversations also. But the point of the Bhagavatam is to substantiate the substantiate that the message that it is giving, it's puratana, it's actually ancient. The compounding of the voices, compounding means, it's like we have compound interest, but interest point, the compounding of the voices means the same message is being repeated by this person and then by this person and this by this person and then by this person. The compounding of the message actually drives home the point much stronger. And further, the message itself, its time is not as important as its content. Now, we are not concerned about when scripture was said as much as what was said in scripture. So if we look at the Bhagavatam itself, you know, there's normally 2 to 3 levels of nested conversations are common. So that the two most common, the two levels are, firstly we have the outermost framing conversation in the Bhagavatam, that is between Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya, which begins from more or less the first chapter of the Bhagavatam itself and goes on till the end of the Bhagavatam. Then the second level of nested conversation begins from the end of the first canto, that is the conversation between and Parikshit Maharaj's questions start in the second canto, and Shukdev Goswami keeps answering those questions periodically as the questions arise, and he is there till almost half of the 12th canto. He departs towards at the end of the half, and then the narrative is carried on by Suta Goswami. So Parikshit Maharaj also leaves his body even before he is bit by Takshaka, and that way that conversation ends. So there is one framing conversation is Suta Goswami and Sages of Naimisharanya, just for practically from the start to the end of the Bhagavatam. The second framing conversation is from Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, that is from the first canto, the end of second canto start till the half of the second 12th canto. Then there are other framing conversations. So one of the longest framing conversations within this larger framing, within these two framing conversations, is between Vidura and Maitreya. That more or less begins in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The second canto, third canto describes the end of the how Vidura leaves home on being insulted by Duryodhana, and then he meets Maitreya. He meets Uddhava, who takes him to Maitreya, and then Maitreya speaks to Vidura. So that is the full third and fourth cantos go on with that conversation. And within this, so this is the third framing conversation. This is among the longest among the conversations that are there within the two broad levels of conversations. Now within that, there are further conversations, say between Devahuti and Kapila, or between Manu, Swayambhu Manu and Kardamuni. Like that, there are many other conversations which are there within this third and fourth cantos. But usually those are direct conversations. Those are not conversations in which they are quoting someone else. So then that conversation will be like the fourth layer conversation between Kardamuni and Kardamuni and say Swayambhu Manu or whatever. Now, from the fifth canto onwards, the narrative goes back. So, the Vidura Maitri Samvad more or less ends over there. And then it goes back to the second level framing conversation. That is between between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And these two keep interspersing. Sometimes Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, sometimes Sukadeva Goswami is speaking. Essentially, Sukadeva Goswami is repeating what Sukadeva Goswami has spoken. But sometimes the reference goes back to Sukadeva Goswami and sometimes the spotlight goes further back to Sukadeva Goswami. That varies. Now, the deepest level of nesting in the conversation happens in the seventh canto, in especially chapters 3 and 4. Especially chapter 3, more or less. So there are actually six levels of the nested conversation. So this is going on. Second level nesting is Sukadeva Goswami speaking into Parikshit Maharaj. And then in regard to the question that is the Supreme Lord partial? Does he act partially? So in that, the question is asked, so to answer that question, Sukadeva Goswami quotes conversation, the same question that was raised by Yudhishthir Maharaj on seeing the Shishupal attaining liberation. So that question is quoted by him. So this is a third level nesting here is Yudhishthir and Nalamuni and Yudhishthir. So this actually goes on till almost the end of the seventh canto. And then after that, so he starts telling the story of, in response, Nalamuni starts telling the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Narasimhadeva and Hiranyakashipu. So when he's telling that story, after he picks up the story with the death of Hiranyakshi and Hiranyakashipu consoling his family members. So there, Hiranyakashipu tells a story of, so now Hiranyakashipu speaking to Hiranyaksha's widow and his mother, that is like the fourth level nesting in the conversation. Third level is Narada Muni and Yudhishthir. Then within that, the fifth level nesting happens when Hiranyakashipu quotes Yamaraj, who comes in the garb of a small boy to console the relatives of a king Suyagya who has been killed on the battlefield. And so Yamaraj, speaking to the relatives of Suyagya, especially his lamenting queens, that is the fifth level nesting. And within the fifth level nesting, there is a sixth level nesting, that is Yamaraj quotes a narrative of Kulinga birds and how the Kulinga birds, because of their attachment, they suffered, and how they how attachment to the temporary relationships causes suffering, that is described over there. So that is the sixth level nesting. And now again, there are further nesting of conversations. The 10th canto is more or less directly narration within the two framing narratives. And usually within the two framing narratives, most of the questions come from the second framing narrative. Only occasionally does the question come from the first framing narrative. That is, the sages asking, Naimisharan sages asking, that happens, say, in the first canto, wherein, before Parikshit Maharaj has been introduced, they ask in the first canto, speak these pastimes. When they hear about how Kali was torturing a cow, they say that, speak this if it is related with Lord Krishna, because only Lord Krishna's activities purify us. So usually the sages Naimisharan don't ask questions. Most of the questions that come, either they come within the conversation, within the frame of the conversation which is being narrated over there. So most of the questions come from Parikshit Maharaj. Now, in the another level of nesting which becomes a little complex is in the Uddhav Gita section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Uddhav Gita, there is a third level nesting. So within Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, there is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. And when Krishna speaks to Uddhava, he quotes various incidents. So sometimes he tells the narrative of Pingala, or he tells the narrative of, especially within one of the longer sub-narratives within that is, he quotes the Bhikshu Gita. The Bhikshu Gita is the narration of the Avadhut Brahmana, who Sridhar Swami identifies with Dattatreya. So the Avadhut Brahmana is speaking to Maharaj Yadu, and he is giving various instructions. So that is the again in the 11th canto, we have a fourth level nesting, that is within Krishna speaking to Uddhava, which comes within Parishuddha Goswami speaking to Parishit Maharaj. Within that, we have, within Krishna speaking to Uddhava, we have one of Krishna's manifestations, one of his incarnations, the Tatre, as Daudhut Brahmana speaking to Maharaj Yadu. And within that speaking, Daudhut Brahmana speaking to Maharaj Yadu, there is not exactly a nesting, there is Pingala's realization. So Pingala is speaking to herself. So generally, within that, there is no conversation, there is just observation and there is a realization. Of course, there is a story of the birds, of the bird couple who grieve and lament when the hunter comes and steals away their, kills them and kills their offsprings. So there, the Kapota story is there, and there some conversation comes up. So that would become like the fifth level nesting. So like that, if we look at the broad context of the Srimad Bhagavatam, generally, if we want to understand, we don't need to necessarily understand who is speaking to whom. The point is, what is being spoken is more important than who is speaking it and to whom it is being spoken. So the multiple level of nesting drives home the point that this message is spoken by so many people and it is being reiterated. So we are not just accepting the authority of one sage, but we are actually getting the authoritative message reinforced by so many authorities. And essentially, when this backward conversation is being traced, actually this multiple level of nesting, it happens once in the 10th canto also. When Parikshit Maharaj asked the question about, you know, if Krishna, this is a chapter, Prayers of the Personified Vedas, Sutistava, that he asked the question that, you know, how can we understand that if Krishna is transcendental, how can his pastimes be, if Brahman is transcendental, how can he be pursued by words? So there are two further levels of nesting, where firstly, this question is asked to the Kumaras, and the Kumaras described that this question was asked to Nar Narayan Rishi. And then Nar Narayan Rishi says that this, I will speak what the personified Vedas, they spoke to the Lord in praise of him. So like that, there is also five level nesting that happens over there. So basically, if this message goes back behind time, and the time beyond time of the message, that means the timelessness of the message is driven home by its multiple level of nesting. And even if we don't understand the specific context, if we understand the content, that is enough. But if we do want to understand the context also, then we need to actually you just read through the translations. Because sometimes when we start reading the purports, we may just get lost because of the sheer volume and volume of the material that we are reading, and we may not be able to figure out who is speaking to whom. But if we focus on the translations, we can understand the context of what is going on. But then we may miss the meaning. So it's a balance. And generally, over a period of time, if we study the Bhagavatam carefully, then the content will become internalized and the context will also become evident, because if the content also is unfamiliar and the context also is complex, then we tend to get overwhelmed. So in our initial study of the Bhagavatam, even if we don't understand the context, as long as we understand the content, that is important. And as we keep reading the Bhagavatam again and again, then when we are familiar with the essential content, then we can focus on the context also and try to understand the multiple levels of nesting. Thank you. Hare Krishna.